the Lord. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. This is our first video production. I want to give a shout out to Remnant Productions for helping put this together for us. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank and bless you for this time together in your presence. As we begin to share the Word of God, Lord, please begin to share with us out of the Scripture. We give you this space of time, Lord, that you will impart to us the very life of Christ out of the Word of God. Thank you for giving us insight. Thank you for an unction from the Holy One. Thank you, Lord, for an utterance that only you can give. We give you praise, Lord God, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're grateful to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you all. If you have your devices or your Bible, I want to look at a passage in a couple translations at something that I think will be a great blessing to you as we consider the life of Christ, the new creation life. This is what we've been sharing on. This is what's really been on our heart concerning God's Word. The life that comes out is what Christ came to give us. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have that life in abundance." And so that's what we want to look at as it relates to the new creation. We've shared in some episodes prior to our doing the video about the new creation, that God took Jew and Gentile and made one man, one new man, Ephesians chapter 2 says, and that one new man is the new creation. Now, in Acts chapter 5, I'd like to begin at verse 17. I'm going to read out of the King James Version and some other versions. Again, I want to just highlight something that's related to Christ's life and how it operated in the life of the apostles and how they were an example as to how the life is supposed to operate through us as well. Same Holy Spirit that they have, we have. And so we should see the same result that they saw. Acts chapter 5, we'll start at verse 17. These words are recorded in the King James Version. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to this, to the people, here it is, all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Verse 24. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Very important. They didn't think this that had started would ever grow. So this translation, the King James says, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Notice verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priests and asked them, verse 28, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, notice, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter, this is the familiar, famous verse 29. Then Peter and others, the other apostles, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Then he gives this dissertation. In this passage is something critical as it relates to Christ's life. The Spirit of God had begun to break forth in the lives of the apostles. Another 5,000 souls had been added to the kingdom of God because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they witnessed 3,000 hearts arrested by the power of God. And it wasn't because Peter preached a sermon. It wasn't a sermon. He answered a question. They said, these men are drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So it wasn't him preparing a message. He didn't even know he was going to preach. Too many people are saying he preached a sermon. He didn't preach a sermon. A sermon is something you can put together. That was a sudden inspiration of the Spirit given him at that moment. And he began to share the word of the Lord with those high priests. But this, as we see here, the doctrine started affecting those in the city. The city was affected by the power of God. Now, it had already been affected because of how God was moving. And then in the beginning of chapter 5, you have the death of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. That was primarily because they all agreed to give of their substance, but none of them agreed to hold on to anything for themselves. So these did, not knowing that in doing so, they would be lying to the Holy Spirit. They fell dead, and the Bible says in verse 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Well, I guess so. If you hear two prominent members in the church just fell dead for lying to the Holy Ghost, I guess that would cause great fear to come on everybody. I bet everybody was giving the right offering then. But what I want you to see is that the power of God had begun to move. Even in verse 12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So the power of God started falling, but the vessels that God was using at that time were the apostles, those that had given their lives to the Lord, those who had been discipled properly by Jesus. It was now time for them to step forth to demonstrate the life that they had been given in Christ. And this is the thing, brothers and sisters, we turn Christ's life into a religious experience, and there's nothing religious at all about the life. The life is the powerful moving of God's Spirit through the vessels that he decides he wants to use. We're trusting that you're one of those vessels that surrendered your life to the Lord and have committed your life to lay it down so that you can become a disciple, become conformed to his image and likeness. That was the state of these that God was now using. Now, I want to highlight one thing that was brought out here in chapter 5. What we see now is the multitudes of people that are being affected by the power of God. Healings, wonders, all kinds of things were happening. Not only that, a number of sick and those vexed with spirits have been delivered and healed. You see that in verse 16. A multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed of unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. This was an outpouring of God's Spirit. This was God beginning to move through the vessels that he had prepared in discipleship. These who were disciples and growing in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now risen from the dead, the power of God is falling on them, and God is using them to be a blessing to the people in the surrounding cities and also to the body of Christ. Now, what I want to highlight tonight is that no matter what God is doing amongst a group of people, his heart is always for those that have a heart for the church. You know, I hate to put it in these terms, but like church people, God has a heart for them because many of them are sincere. For whatever the reason, they may have gotten corrupted. They may have gotten defiled. Something may have happened. But for the most part, those that are dedicated to spending time in the temple, God has a special place in his heart for them. You don't believe me? Ask Simeon, who was secure with just seeing the Messiah and said, Lord, now I can go and rest in peace. What about Anna, the prophetess, that was there in the temple when Jesus was brought in for the purification, who had been praying to see the consolation of Israel? She had been in the temple. Husband had passed. She had been fasting and praying in the temple. And there God had a special place for her to hold the Savior and know that, yes, the one I declared was coming, this is he. Two witnesses that confirm that this is the Son of God. God has a special place in his heart for those that have dedicated themselves to serving in the temple, to being available to God for whatever the house of God might need. You know, those that are servants, those that are dedicated to serving in the purpose of God. God has a special place in his heart for them. And you'll see this as Peter begins to minister the word of God. Now, when you go over to verse 17, the high priest and the Sadducees got involved to the point where they imprisoned those that God was using to bring the message. They put them in prison. Now, what God was doing was so important that he had to release them. He had to get them out of prison. Because of the impact of the move of God in that time, God had to release an angel. We see this in verse 19. They laid hands on them and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison and, notice, brought them forth and said to them, go stand. I want you to see these words here in verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, I can't dive into this entire passage, but I want to highlight one or two things here, brothers and sisters, that I think would be a great blessing if you're one of those servants dedicated your life to service in the temple, in the house of God. God has a special word just for you. You'll see it here when he's sharing. The angel of the Lord comes. The angel of the Lord gets involved. What God was using them to do was so important. Them being bound in prison was not sufficient in the heart of God. So the Lord had an angelic presence come and release them out of prison. Now, what I want you to notice are the instructions given to them from the angel. You'll see it in verse 20. Go, stand, speak, where? In the temple to the people, all the words of this life. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So we see God giving instructions to them, the angel coming and release them, and the apostles leaving and following in what God gave them to do. They had just been thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. The angel comes and releases them to go back and preach the gospel. You would think they'd be hesitant, like, this guy was thrown in prison yesterday. And Lord, you want us to go back and what about if we get thrown in prison? See, that wasn't the mindset of those that God had encountered. If God set them free, then they must be doing something right. So let's continue. Don't get afraid and clam up and not know. He released them because of what he was using them to share. Brothers and sisters, let me help you understand something about the word of God. You can't lock it up. You can't lock up the word of God. Paul said, I'm in prison, but the word of God is not imprisoned. It's not. You can't lock up the word of God. And this is a modern example of trying to stop something that God has ordained and initiated. Human beings can't stop it. They can't stop it. Hey, these leaders, in verse 17, the high priest and the Sadducees, these were the top leaders of the day saying, hey, Tone down the Jesus stuff, okay? It doesn't take all that. We go to church too, but it don't take all that. No, in this time, because of how God was moving, it took that and some. So he gives instructions. This is what I want you guys to see. Verse 20. Three things he tells them to do. Go, stand, and speak. But where? In the temple to the people. Not in the surrounding cities. Don't take this word to the streets. No, this is for those that are in the temple. Church people. Church people got to hear this. So I want to redirect you from the multitude back to the house of God, because I got some people there I want you to speak to. Go, stand, speak to the people in the temple, all the words of this life. You see the instructions? This is the instruction that we have. Those of you that God has delivered out of religion, go, stand, speak. Go. You got to go. Too often we're telling people to come. Come to the... That wasn't the command. The command was to go. What about the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Here is another command of God because of those that are on the heart of God. Go get them. There are those that I set aside. There are servants that are there who've been faithful. Everybody there may be in religion, but not all are religious. So go to them first. Go and locate those who dedicated their lives in the temple. They got caught up. They got corrupted. Maybe the leader was corrupt. But go get them. Those are my folks. Go, he says. Stand. Because as you're going, there may be a temptation to pull back. No. Stand and stand firm, stand strong, stand, go, stand, take a firm stand with what I've used you to say and convey. This message is for those that are in the church, locked inside of religion, can't seem to get free from religious calisthenics, epiphanies that they're saying they're having, but these people, most of them, don't know the Lord. In a biblical context, they've been introduced, but don't know him. My brother, my sister, is that you? You've been introduced to the Lord, you've cultivated a relationship, but then you went back to your own life and started living your life, asking God to come with you. See, that's not how biblical Christianity works. Biblical Christianity is Jesus coming to you saying, follow me, and I'll make you somebody. And you follow, and he makes you and releases you to accomplish his will and purpose. That's what we see in the lives of the disciples, other than Judas, who had another agenda in his heart. But what I want you to see is these that now have received the Holy Spirit, these that are already making tremendous headway in their communities, now are given a specific message to the church. Notice, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people. What do we say, Lord? All the words of this life. Now, I want to read this in another translation just to highlight one or two things here before we pray together. And that is in verse where he says, go, stand, and speak. I want to read verse 20 in the NIV. I have my New International Version. And verse 20 in the NIV says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. The full message of this new life. And I just want to stop here long enough to say, brothers and sisters, it's tragic how even in our local churches, they don't have the full message of the life of God. They have church and just how to do church, but no life in Christ. That's what makes it religious. What makes a house religious is the fact that Jesus is there. He's respected and honored, but nobody there knows him. Nobody has an intimate relationship with him. They know about him. But brothers and sisters, just because somebody introduces you to somebody doesn't mean you know them. No. He says, go stand and speak to those in the temple. What are we speaking to them? All the words of this life. Another translation says, just the Amplified Classic says, go take your stand in the temple courts and declare to the people the whole doctrine concerning this life, the eternal life which Christ revealed. All the words of this life was the doctrine concerning Christ's life. That's what they were sharing. That's what was changing our communities, brothers and sisters. It wasn't going to our communities and sharing the I Have a Dream speech or stuff for Black history, because that wouldn't change the hearts of men. But the Word of God can. Only the Word of God can. We put too much trust in other things that may have been dynamic and awesome, but it wasn't the power of the Word of God. So it doesn't change the heart. Doesn't change the heart of man. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who here knows their own heart and won't be deceived by their own heart? You can deceive your own self. As a matter of fact, in James, the first chapter, the Bible says, if you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer, you're deceiving your own self. How many church people are doing that? Weekly, weekly, go to the house of God, hear the word of God, but do nothing that was preached or said. Then, I'm sorry, you're not receiving the life. That's what they had. They had the words of this life. What they were sharing was life, brothers and sisters. It wasn't religion. It wasn't an exercise. It wasn't do this and then you'll see this result. No, they all encountered the life of God. What they were imparting to others was Christ's life. What else are we imparting to people, brothers and sisters? Can I just ask, what else are we giving people? Are we giving people a faulty gospel that doesn't save? If the gospel you preach don't save and deliver a life, you're not preaching the gospel. What are you preaching? My brother, my sister, those that are on Facebook, so-called preaching with nothing to say. Bro, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Not this whatever you call yourself preaching, trying to be all whatever. No, bro, nobody hears you. There's no life in what you're saying. You have to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. This is what changed these people that came to an understanding. It was all the words of this life. That's the issue. That's the issue that we have today in our religious gatherings where Christ is not there. All the words of this life, that what God came to give us out of his word was life. Didn't he say that in John's Gospel chapter 1? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The life was in the beginning with God. All of it was in the beginning with God. Then what happened? The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came and dwelt among us with that light. We touched him. We saw him with our own hands, the apostle said. In 1 John chapter 1, he said, this word of life, we touched him. We've seen with our eyes, we've touched him. What did you touch, John? Life. That's what we touched. We didn't touch religion. Like most people got caught up. Started in the pulpit. No, you don't start in the pulpit. That's not where you start. You start in the pew with everybody else. And then God grows you up to that level. That's the life that Jesus came to give. He told the disciples, don't go do nothing. Tarry ye into Jerusalem until you wait for the power from on high. Don't lay hands on nobody. Don't pass out business cards. Don't do nothing. Wait in that upper room till the power of God comes. Then I will release you to go forth and do what I've called you to do. Now, here they are, so many chapters later, brothers and sisters, carrying that out with the authority of God, healings and deliverance and breaking out all over the place to the point where their own group of people, their own culture, were saying, all right, that's enough. You guys, tone it down. Tone it down. So they put him in prison thinking they could stop the move of God, and it didn't stop it. The angel came, opened the prison door, and gave them this message. This is from the angel himself. This is what he told them. The Amplified Classic. Go, take your stand in the temple courts and declare to the people the whole doctrine concerning this life, the eternal life which Christ revealed. And the Bible says when they heard that, they went. Brothers and sisters, in closing, can I just help you understand that all the words of this life is what we should be sharing with people? It's Christ's life. That's what was imparted to us in grace, and it changed us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace has the power to bring us to the cross and exchange that life, that sinful Adamic nature life, for the life of Christ. All of our beginnings began at the cross. My brother, my sister, is that where yours began? Or did your beginning begin in church? It's not authentic. Many have come to church and have never come to Christ. I would like to make an appeal today as we prepare to pray with you all. Christ is the way. Church is great. I pastor one. But you don't know that people can slip in that don't know the Lord, are not born again. So what we have to do now in church is preach the message of salvation, because just like in Jesus's time, you have the Nicodemuses who didn't understand born again. Can a man enter again into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, unless the man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. My brother, my sister, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a genuine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did you just start going to church, trying to apply the principles and stuff like that, and nothing has happened to you? No wonder you're struggling. You're not born again. Church ain't gonna make sense to you until you lay down your life and give your life to Jesus. Christ is what we're after, and his life. We thank God for the size of the church, the pastor, the leaders, everything. What color it is, the nice chairs and everything. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't save you. As a matter of fact, if the words of this life haven't touched you, my brother, my sister, you're not born again. You're just somebody that go to church. You hang out with the children of God, but you're not one. I want to pray today, because that's a place that you never want to be. You never want to be almost a child of God, and then you die. And that's all she wrote for you. Who you are at the end of time is who you will be in eternity. If you are a liar now and you don't change, when you die, you'll be a liar in eternity. And brother, sister, you didn't make it. You don't want to know about the life of liars in eternity. You don't want to know about that. All you need to know is tell the truth. Be open to God. Lay your life down. Don't play with religion. Let those in religion go on to hell with it. But you get Christ's life. They were told to go stand and speak the words of this life. It's a life that Jesus is offering. Not just words. It's his life. I wonder if you have his life today, my brother, my sister. Have you ever encountered the life of God? God's grace has measures of his life in it that draws us to him. Have you ever received the very life of Christ? I'd like to pray for you today. My brother, my sister, whoever you are, bow your head with me. Let's pray together. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these viewers. I thank you for each person that is viewing today. I'm asking you, Lord, to search the hearts of every listener, my own heart included, Lord. Make sure that your life is residing within us, that we don't have some religious experience, some epiphany that was fake, something that wasn't real. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that these that are viewing would encounter you afresh. Encounter them, Lord, having convicted that heart where it bows down and yields to the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Thank you, Father God. I give you praise, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I thank God for all of you that are viewing. Please continue to join us. My daughter Trinity is doing one. Young people, young lives, they have to check out Tell the Truth. That's all the time we have on this episode, but we'll be back again from the video side of things to share more of the Word of God with you. Until that time, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless you.